This is CliffCentral.com.
It's Kupu. Yours ain't banging like mine, oh. Yo, what's up, guys? It's your girl, Gigi LeMaine, and you're tuned into The Unplugged Radio Show on Thursdays right here on Cliff Central from 12 to 1 p.m., baby. Are you ready?
Baby, yeah, yet again another one of those really great days. It's the shortest hour of the week. It's the Unplugged and In Charge Radio Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. And whether you're listening to the podcast right now or whether you're listening live, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure. And I mean, this is the tribe of superstar leaders, as we like to call it. And it's going to be absolutely fantastic. Now, today we are talking about the Born Free Hustle. And we're talking about, you know what, there are some dreams we have these days that were not there back in the olden days. And that's okay. And sometimes you might find that everybody who's not necessarily born free might not understand the hustle sometimes. And it is up to you to really make that hustle work for you. Now, a little bit later on, we'll be talking to a really, really beautiful lady. She's done so much already, and she's still got the world ahead of her. Her name is Ayanda Tabete. It's going to be absolutely fantastic to just dig into her box of gems, just to find out exactly, you know, what she did to get to where she is right now. When I had a chat with her earlier, I said, I don't want to know where you fell. Whether you fell into fortune, fell into bad times or whatever. We're not all, like, there's too many interviews normally about where one is right now, where they fell. But that's not what we want to know. What we actually want to know is where you slipped. Because if we know where you slipped, that's where we can actually start to make changes in our own lives, start making adjustments in our own lives, and start seeing where we can grow as well. So it's going to be a fantastic show. We're going to chat to Ayanda Tabete in a short little while about that. But before that, I've got my main man, Small Koozy, in the building. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great, man. And how are you?
Yeah, man, I'm good.
Yeah,
it's another really great day. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
All the time, every time. I always feel like, you know what, I'm out here doing the most. I'm always winning. Are you winning, Small?
Yes, of course, man. I'm winning always, despite the weather that's been, you know, bothering us over the past few days.
Yeah.
The weather's looking much brighter today. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks God for that. But yeah, I'm winning, man. I'm feeling great. I mean, I'm tackling all my challenges, everything that I need to get right in life, and I cannot complain, my brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic stuff. Now, before we get into all the hype and all the cool stuff, I know that you originally from Durban, KZN, somewhere around that area, and at the moment it's not going good there with the weather. So our thoughts go out to everybody in KZN right now. I know it's a really, really tough time with all the weather that has really just become really extreme that side, right?
Yeah, man. Look, it's really sad. I mean, I've been looking at the news on social media. You know, the situation is not looking really great. I wouldn't really want to be in those kind of situations. I mean, people are really struggling currently.
Mm.
And, you know, it's a good thing that the government is going to be stepping in and, you know, releasing some funds to make sure that they sort of rebuild whatever that's been damaged. And, you know, our thoughts go out to everybody at the Unplugged Radio Show. Does recognize what's been happening. And, yeah, we're with them.
Yeah. Tell me, do you have any family that's in the mix of things right now?
Not really. I don't.
Yeah, where's your family from?
I'm at the North Coast.
Okay, so things are fine at the North Coast.
North Coast, things are fine.
So, okay, cool. So that's more or less where we need to go if we still want to have a good time in December. Because I'm worried now. You know, Durban's always been that place. What's it, Durban? But now, it's like, okay, come to some parts of Durban. So you're saying the northern side is the place to be right now?
Yeah. Yeah, but pretty close to the CBD, Durban Central, yeah.
All right.
Because I'm around Westbrook.
Yeah.
Yeah, Westbrook Beach. Just obviously
you guys live in front of the beach.
Yeah, man. It's like 10 minutes away.
Must be nice.
It's 10 minutes away, so I'm used to the ocean. I mean, it's nothing that, I mean, I've been there for a long time, many years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when I'm back home, that's what I enjoy.
That's why you always walk around with flip-flops. Guys, this guy, when he visits my place, he's always in flip-flops and shorts.
And I'm like, hey, Baba, this is Gauteng, man. And
I'm used to that.
And
man.
I'm going to meet people. Are you going to meet them in these flip-flops? And he's like, I know. He doesn't know what's going to happen. And then 1, 2, 3, we're in front of big people. Then he's like, ah, oh, where's that? You see now. You must always dress prepared. That's actually something I learned, you know, within the hustle itself. I could no longer just dress for your first the appointment or the meeting you're going to have in the morning, because you're not sure where the rest of the day is going to go, you know.
Very true.
So sometimes you have to sometimes I in fact dress for where I'm going to be tonight, you know, for the whole day. And people are like, whoa, you're so overdressed. I'm like, hey man, look, you don't even know what my life is going to be like in the next couple of hours, you know. And sometimes that's just the case. So you must learn, small. But today you've learned. I see today there's no flip-flops, there's no shorts.
I can't do that.
Or is it because you're going to meet Ayanda today? You're like, hey, I can't meet Ayanda in flip-flops. Oh, interesting. Okay, cool. So, I mean, still just chatting about some of the news and current affairs, some of the things out there. First of all, Questa released a big song. That's pretty cool. I think it's pretty cool, especially because he's got Wale on it. It sounds a lot like Ngut still. Like, it's still got that same, that beat. You know, I think they played it kind of safe with doing that. Which is, you know, you'd have mixed reaction, mixed feelings, whether that was a good thing or a bad thing. You know, some say, no, keep their flavor, Baba. They need to know, you know. Whereas other people are like, well, no, this is not really that creative. But it's still a big song. A lot of people are actually liking the song right now. And I think props to him for getting Wale on it. I think that's a pretty cool thing, more than anything else. You know, listening to the song, I still think it needs a Kaspar Nyovestinya and a Shapuzetimanyovra. You know, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe a double HP or something. I don't know. It's not necessarily that the song is lacking anything. I think it would be even better had it, you know, it has a lot of Zulu in it, which I, as a Xhosa person, obviously understand. But I know my Sotho, Tswana, Pedi people are like, all they know in the whole song is yeah, 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 and that's probably not such a nice thing. But you know, so sometimes that extra representation is always a good thing. Other than that, though, Lebohang makes SA proud at Miss Wheelchair World 2017. The 24 young women representing 19 different countries across the world gathered in Warsaw, Poland, this past Saturday, and competed for the very first time for this big title. And Miss Wheelchair World was the pageant, as it was called. Now, Lebohang is the first South African woman in a wheelchair to be a runway model representing South Africa at the Miss Wheelchair Award, and won the first princess title at the pageant. I think that's a pretty cool thing. And it's really cool that you know, people in let's say in wheelchairs, or people just in other types of industries are starting to recognize that, you know, whether you're on a wheelchair or not, you can still do that job. I kind of still strongly feel the same about voiceovers and radio and a couple of other industries where you can actually do the job sitting down. You know, we need to find ways to make it more inclusive of other people as well. So yeah, props to her. It's always good to hear big people doing big things. Cool stuff. So we're going to have a chat now with a lovely lady herself. This is Ayanda Tabete. She's done quite a number of things. She's been all around, but the hustle started very long ago, and I want to unpack it slowly. So before I just tell you who she is now, what she's achieved and all these things, sometimes it's better to just, you know, slowly but surely get familiar with the lovely lady herself. Ayanda, how you doing?
Hello, Eza. I'm good. And how are you?
Fantastic. Well, it's a pleasure to have you join us.
I'm so happy to be here. Good. You will see with all my posts.
Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah, we've been checking it out. I think, Instagram knows you're here. Twitter knows you are here.
Yeah.
Hey, Baba, even Amadlozi know you are here.
I don't know.
All right, just a joke. Cool. So, Ayanda, tell us, what's a day in Ayanda's life like?
Jeez, so a day like today, for instance, has been quite busy. I started off at a photo shoot this morning for something really special. Mm-hmm. And then I'm here, you know. Every single day is different. At times that I shoot top billing, I could be on the top of a mountain somewhere, you know, shooting extreme adventure kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes I'm in a ball gown and in a beautiful house, you know.
Yeah.
So every single day is different, and I'm so, so grateful for that.
Wow. Absolutely fantastic. Oh, so you looking this put together today? It's just because there was a photo shoot.
Yes, okay. I'm actually not always like this, believe it or not. But I was glad actually that the photo shoot took place before I could come here.
Yeah.
So that at least I look decent for you.
I'm sure you'd look decent every other day. It's okay. Cool. So this is pretty cool. You're saying that you wake up to a new day, and every day is totally different from the day before, and I think that's probably something amazing. Was this your dream?
It was absolutely my dream. You know, before this, I was in corporate. I, for a long time, I spent my time in corporate. And what really frustrated me about corporate was that it was so mundane. You wake up, you know when your lunchtime is, your tea break, after work, you know, basically how your day is going to go. I mean, there are variations here and there, but generally the day is the same. But you know, coming into the entertainment space, everything is so different, and you could be doing something different every day, and it just keeps life interesting. It keeps you inspired and motivated and excited, you know. I said to you when I got here today that I'm in such a great mood today.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's because it's been a good day.
Fantastic. This is great, because you said saying to me that you come from corporate makes you so much more relatable to many people who are thinking, you know what, I'm stuck right now wherever I am. And I always like to hear stories like yours, because these are stories about how do I start with what is safe, prove to my parents that I'm smart enough.
Yes.
And then after that, now, when is the right time to fulfill my dreams? When is the right time to go after what I want to go after? And how do I convince myself and my peers and my family and everybody that this is going to be the thing that's going to work? And guys, please don't worry. I know you've heard many rumors about it, but I really think I know. There's something inside me that says this is going to work.
Yeah.
You know, all those type of things. It's interesting.
I think it's very important to firstly not try to convince people.
Mm.
Everyone has a different soul, and your soul already knows where you're supposed to be.
Mm.
And it's your responsibility to follow your heart, because you can't explain to somebody else that this is where I know that I'm supposed to be. But I think that people who genuinely love you, people who genuinely care about you, they love to see you happy. So whatever it is that makes you happy, that's where you need to be. For me, it wasn't it's not a choice between the two. I love corporate as much as I love entertainment, and in fact I've incorporated that into my business career, because I just feel like you don't have to be one dimensional. Just because you love radio doesn't mean that you can't excel in a marketing career. You can do two things. And I always say, the biggest advice I have for people who are stuck in a corporate job and would like to do something else is that, firstly, don't look at it as the fact that you're stuck, because everywhere you are in life is an opportunity to learn. Everything that I learned in my corporate career, I apply now. As much as I didn't want to be in that space forever, I knew that it was teaching me something that will help my future self. And it really is. And then secondly, it's just to start, you know. Just because you're in corporate, you can start off with a website for what you want to do. If you want to sell clothes, you can start in the boot of your car and sell 5 garments, and you can grow from there. And when you are gaining enough income that your business forces you out of that environment, then you follow that path. You are not stuck to one place. You are a multidimensional human being, and you can do so many things at once.
Fantastic. That really is amazing. It is. I love the fact that you're saying that don't be one dimensional. I think, who are we not to be geniuses?
Yeah.
You know, who are we not to be? You know, if we think about some of the guys back in the day, the Leonardo da Vinci's or the Van Gogh's and all those people. These people were multifaceted. Like,
yes,
you'd hear that he contributed greatly in mathematics and in science and in music and in art and in this and in that. He invented things within the sciences, but then he also went and composed amazing music.
And if you take it back home, you look at our mothers. Mm. Our mothers never used to be just one person. They would go, like, I know for a fact with my mom, she's a nurse. But she would sew clothes, she would sell cool drinks, she would do this just so that we survive. So you can even take inspiration from your parents, from where you come from, and just make it bigger, because obviously you have more opportunities and a wider world is available to you now.
Wow, fantastic stuff, man. Wow, so you saying to me that right now you've got some sort of corporate-like career, whereas you still have an entertainment career. Just describe it in detail and say, to show me how these things connect and where's the golden thread.
All right, so I started off in corporate. I have an honors in marketing.
Sure.
I did a marketing degree, then honors in marketing. Then I went and did sales in within corporate. I was a brand manager and all of that stuff. Then when I decided to leave corporate, I was like, I can't leave all the expertise and experiences that I've had. I can't just let that go. And it's something actually that excites me even as well. So I decided to open up a brand and a marketing agency called Buzzworthy, where I do a lot of brand activations for different companies. Right now, I'm actually working for a company that's releasing something very good that's going to help alleviate poverty in South Africa. And it's going to be on a large scale. And those are the things that I thought it's important, that just because I'm in a different space doesn't mean that I have to let go of the knowledge that, you know, I have. And when I used to be in corporate, I was a brand manager for a hair care brand. Mm. So then I decided, I know the business end of hair. And also in entertainment, I have to change my hair a lot, different looks and all of that. So it is a point of interest for me. So then I decided, let me have a salon. And I opened up a hair and beauty salon in Melrose Arch, called Leander Hair and Beauty Salon. Mm-hmm. And all these things represent a different part of me. So that part is obviously girly. It's about hair. It's about making people look good and feel good. And I want them to have an environment where when they leave, they're feeling, you know, relaxed. It's a sanctuary, but they also look good and it gives them confidence. Because I know what it does for me when I know my makeup is looking great, my hair is looking good. And, you know, you just feel like as a girl, you can just take over the world, you know. Wow. When you feel good and you look good, you can do good, you know. And in terms of my marketing side, I just feel really great knowing that I can impact society in an economic front, you know, and I can do things and be in a boardroom. And just because, and I love the fact that I can model and be that, you know, because people think just because you're pretty or you're a model, you're doing that, then you don't have any brain matter, which is so different. And I love really proving people's perceptions wrong in that matter. I know that a lot of people, when they see me, they don't really expect that much in terms of what I'm going to say and my opinions. It's honestly true. It's just the way life works. But when I start talking and I talk about what I know and how I can impact the marketing world and what I've learned and what I can bring to the table, then it really leaves off that thing of, oh, she's just a pretty girl. Then people really concentrate on that. It's unfortunate that you have to pass through those hurdles for people to actually listen to you. But I think that it's worth doing that just for other people so that they can change their perceptions.
Absolutely fantastic. This is great. Now, tell me, do you have a team around you that you operate with? Or is this all you working 12 to 12 and 12 again and you hardly sleep? Tell me exactly, you know, what does it take to be operating at the level where you're operating right now?
I think it's so important to surround yourself with good people, power people, and people who are actually, who do things better than you. I think a lot of people get intimidated that, you know, I'm bringing in a business partner into my business and they're better than me. But you should surround yourself with people who are better than you and who are great, because the passion displayed represents you as a collective and not you individually. So in my marketing business, I run it in conjunction with a business partner.
Yeah.
In my salon business, I have an operations a business partner as well, who runs the operations of the business. With my brand, I have my sister here. She's also my assistant. Her name is
cool.
Lungi. She's unbelievable. She runs Brand Me. Mm-hmm. And so I surround myself with people people that are vested in me as a brand, who are vested in what we're doing, vested in the vision that I'm trying to portray and that I'm trying to really live. And those people really help me to make sure that each factor and thing that I'm involved in is really effective, because I don't like doing things half-heartedly. I also don't like, I'm very controlling in the sense that I like things being done a certain way and perfect. And I might I frustrate people I work with. She'll be testament to that. But I'm just that person. Like, I believe in excellence. Excellence is a thread that keeps me going. Everything I'm involved in has to have excellence.
Mm. Which is great, because it's important to have that type of trademark to say whatever I touch must be excellent. And if it's not excellent, maybe it wasn't me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I just want people to, all the projects I'm involved in, I want people to be able to identify that Ayanda was there. She must have been there, because that was done excellently, or that was done well. That's why I really think out things I do. I know I was telling somebody today that in terms of my social media, for instance, I don't do those little posts that are once off with brands and they pay you a certain amount of money. I always say to brands, if you want me to come on board, make me a partner, give me a campaign, let's do something that's effective, let's do something that is long term, and I'll come on board. But I don't want to be everybody's something in terms of brands, and then you end up doing little pieces of everything and getting low money here and there, but you're not really effective and getting your worth as a brand. So it's just one of the things I've put in place just to ensure that I really have that golden thread of excellence in everything I do.
Now, one thing that's probably taxing is trying to be many people, right? Because some people they respect the fact that you're saying, yeah, no, be multifaceted, but then they always get worried about that and saying, will you be effective in all these things? Will you be efficient? And so, how do you make sure that you're still efficient? What do you not sleep? How do you, what are some of the things that are, these are your habits of success?
Firstly, God runs my life. I know that everything that I'm a part of, everything that I do, everything that's brought to me is directly from God. I owe everything to Him. So because I know that I have what I have, and the things I'm involved in are from someone more powerful than me, I know that I have to treat it with great responsibility. So that's the first thing. The second thing is what we were referring to earlier. I have a really good team around me. I have people who are passionate, who are driven, and who are vested in what they're doing. Thirdly, I'm passionate and I love what I do. I wake up, I have a purpose that literally makes me jump out of bed to do what I love. You know, so because of that, it fuels you. And I really believe that I can keep going long after I can't, because I'm really passionate. I love what I do. And it's just keeping a good and positive spirit around you, keeping good people around you, and people that love you understand when you can't make time for them, because also you can't be everything all the time. You can't. There are some instances where you're going to fail at something, some instances where you're not going to measure up to where you are supposed to be. But it's always not important to look at where you failed. It's also important to look at, did I do my best? I always say that the world can't ask of you more than your best. That's all you can give, is your best. And if you can be true to yourself and say, in that situation I did my best, then you know that you can just keep going and you can do even better, you know. So for me, it's just having a good team, knowing that I have a responsibility towards God with the gifts and the blessings that He's given me, making sure that I keep the passion and love alive for the things that I'm involved in. And if the things that I'm involved in are things that I no longer love, because as people evolve, we change, we can love something now and not love it later, it's also your responsibility to say that, even though I felt like this in the beginning, I'm not giving what I'm doing justice, and I'm not serving it the amount of energy required, and it's something that I need to let go to focus on the things that I am impactful on.
Yeah. Okay, this is pretty fantastic. So we spent the first half really just having a chat about you know, where you are right now. In other words, where you've landed. So In the next half, I want to zoom in on where you slipped. But before you slipped, the build up and then where you slipped. Now, slipping does not mean anything bad.
Yes,
it means it's part of the cause and effect. For every effect there is now, something caused it at some point in your life.
Yes.
So you have a certain effect on family, people, your career and everything, and something caused that somewhere in the line. So we want to, because success leaves tracks, we want to trace back to a point in time where you didn't have this effect and what caused it, that type of thing. Before we go into that, there's always just a little bit of motivation here and there as well. So we're going to hit you with a little bit of motivation and we're going to come back right after this.
I don't know what that dream is that you have. I don't care how disappointing it might have been as you've been working toward that dream. But that dream that you're holding in your mind, that it's possible. That some of you already know that it's hard. It's not easy. It's hard changing your life. That in the process of working on your dreams, you are going to incur a lot of disappointment, a lot of failure, a lot of pain. There are moments when you're going to doubt yourself and say, God, why is this happening to me? I'm just trying to take care of my children and my mother. I'm not trying to steal or rob from anybody. Why did this have to happen to me? For those of you that have experienced some hardships, don't give up on your dream. Their rough times are going to come, but they have not come to stay. They have come to pass.
Greatness is not this wonderful, esoteric, elusive, God-like creature that only the special among us will ever taste. You know, it's something that truly exists in all of us.
It's very important for you to believe that you are the one. Most people, they raise a family, they earn a living, and then they die. They stop growing, they stop working on themselves, they stop stretching, they stop pushing themselves. That a lot of people like to complain, but they don't want to do anything about their situation. And most people don't work on their dreams. Why? One is because of fear. The fear of failure. What if things don't work out? And the fear of success. What if they do and I can't handle it? These are not risk takers.
You spend so much time with other people. You spend so much time trying to get people to like you. You know other people more than you know yourself. You studied them. You know about them. You want to hang out like them. You want to be just like them. And you know what? You've invested so much time in them, you don't know who you are. I challenge you to spend time by yourself.
It's necessary that you get the losers out of your life if you want to live your dream. But people who are running toward their dreams, life has a special kind of meaning.
When you become the right person, what you do is you start separating yourself from other people. You begin to have a certain uniqueness. As long as you're following other people, as long as you're being a copycat, you will never ever be the best copycat in the world. But you will be the best you could be. I'm telling you to define your value.
That everybody won't see it. That everybody won't join you. That everybody won't have the vision. It's necessary to know that. That you are an uncommon breed. It's necessary that you align yourself with people and attract people into your business who are hungry. People who are unstoppable and unreasonable. People who are refusing to leave life just as it is and who want more. The people that are living their dream are finding winners to attach themselves to. The people that are living their dreams are the people that know that if it's going to happen, it's up to them.
If you want to be more successful, if you want to have and do stuff you ain't never done before, number two, I'm asking you to invest in you. Invest in you.
Someone's opinion of you does not have to become your reality. That you don't have to go through life being a victim. And even though you face disappointments, you have to know within yourself that I can do this. Even if no one else sees it for me, I must see it for myself.
This is what I believe, and I'm willing to die for it. Period.
No matter how bad it is, or how bad it gets, I'm going to make it.
I want to represent an idea. I want to represent possibilities.
And some of you right now, you want to be, you know what I'm saying, you want to go to the next level. I want to counsel. You know, I want to be an engineer. I want to be a doctor. Listen to me. You can't get to that level. You can't get to the level economically where you want to be until you start investing in your mind. You're not reading books. I'm challenging y'all to go to conferences. I dare you to invest time. I dare you to be alone. I dare you to spend an hour getting to know yourself. When you become who you are, when you become the person that you were created to be, designed to be who you were designed to be, when you become an individual, what you do is you take yourself and you start separating yourself from other people. I tell you, to get to a place where people don't like you, they don't even bother you no more. Why? Because you're not concerned with trying to make them happy, because you're trying to grow. You're trying to get to the next level. I need you to invest in your mind. Invest in your mind. If you still talk about your dream, if you still talk about your goals, but you have not done anything, just take the first step.
That you can make your parents proud. You can make your school proud. You can touch millions of people's lives, and the world will never be the same again because you came this way. Don't let nobody steal your dream. After we face a rejection and a no, or we have a meeting and no one shows up, or somebody say, you can count on me, and they don't come through. What if we have that kind of attitude? The car's repossessed. Nobody believes in you. You've lost again and again and again. The lights are cut off, but you're still looking at your dream, reviewing it every day, and saying to yourself, it's not over until I win.
This is CliffCentral.com.
Yenafuna Hamba Kongo. Hey, what's up, everybody? Umar Razalo, a.k.a. Mr. Kwan, a.k.a. P-L-I-N-D. And you're listening to the Unplugged Radio Show, 12 to 1 p.m. every single Thursday on Cliff Central. It's too short, like me.
Yeah, you heard it right there, guys. You can live your dream. But wow, wow, what powerful stuff there. By a compilation, really, we had Eric Thomas there, we had Les Brown there, we had Will Smith there. It was amazing. And those guys right there are really, you know, they're living their dream, and they're using their lives to make sure that we can realize our potential and live our dreams as well. I think we can all take something from what was said right there. It's absolutely, absolutely amazing. So we're still chatting to the lovely Ayanda. How you doing, ma'am?
I'm still good.
Fantastic. So we did say that now we're going to talk about where you slipped, right? Mm-hmm. But before where you slipped, let's understand how, you know, you were brought up. Just give us a snapshot of when you were 7 years old.
Jeez, that is always so difficult for me.
Yeah,
I always say I was such an independent child. I'm a very assertive person.
Mm.
I speak out a lot. Of anything really, good or bad. I'm a person who just can't hold things in. You know, I have to speak about things. So I think my family found that quite intriguing because they're the opposite of me. And you know, I had a good childhood with its challenges. That I think a lot of black people went through young, you know, but it was good. My mom did the best she could for us. I grew up in a family of five girls.
Five girls.
No boys.
Oh,
five
my goodness.
Girls. But surprisingly, because our ages are so different, we never really fight or squirrel or anything. We really just have supported each other. So I've had a great childhood, man. I can't complain. I think that God gave me what I needed.
Yeah.
Yeah, to become the person I am today.
So are you the first born, second born?
I'm child number three.
Oh, the middle
child.
I'm
right in the middle.
Like pretty
Maybe
much in
that's
the middle,
why,
right?
You know.
Normally the middle child like kind of off ramps.
Exactly. Exactly, because no one in my family is like me.
Yeah. Pretty interesting. Pretty interesting. So raised in, were you raised?
I was raised in KZN, Durban. So I lived everywhere. KwaMashu, Eshamoya, Kaji, then Ntuzuma. My dad stayed there. Mlazi, my grandmother stayed there. So I'm a real product of KwaZulu-Natal.
Jeez,
like
yeah.
To the core.
And tell me, moving around so much, did that ever was that ever a bad thing, or did it actually boost you in terms of being outspoken and meeting new people really easily?
I didn't really move around too much, but it was holiday times.
I mean,
for a while, then I went to Avoca in the later part of my life, and Mlazi. But I mean, you know what it helped me do was that it helped me meet people from all walks of life. Mm-hmm. Firstly, it just made me street smart. You know,
yeah.
I'm not that, you know, that typical girl that's scared of everything. No. I'm not. I'm really not like that. But also, it just exposed me to different people from different walks of life. Understood life in different aspects, from being rich to being poor to, you know, everything that people go through in the townships. Then it's the suburbs. It's different lifestyles. And it just makes you more appreciative of, firstly, your circumstances, where you are. It also makes you sensitive. And it also makes, I think it gives you an aspect of humility, because you're able to relate to different people from different walks of life. You are not somebody who's so out of the picture.
Yeah.
You've been able to live different kind of lives, lifestyles, and I have a good understanding of a lot of variety of, you know, where people, walks of life, I can say.
Yeah, I think that's very important, being able to be relatable to different people and understanding where they come from, because when you understand where a person comes from, they gravitate towards you much easier, because they're like, oh, you one of us.
Exactly.
Because I thought you were one of them, but it's good because you understand where we come from.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm thinking about it, like if you were, let's say, for instance, on set, everyone on set comes from a different walk of life. The director maybe has had it easy all his life, went to one of the best schools in New York, and now he's here all lavish, and they think in a certain way, and they treat people in a certain way.
Yes.
And then the dude who's handling the mic, he comes from a totally different walk of life. He got in Ngepazari, in that other place where he just got a certificate, so he didn't quite. And he comes from the townships, and this was his hustle. And now you interacting with both these people, and you need to make sure that all of them, you know, find you relatable in some way or the other.
And I feel like everyone has something to teach you.
Yeah.
That's how I also approach it, is that no matter where you come from, you know, the different pool of experiences give you something to teach somebody that you can impart on somebody else.
Mm.
So no matter what your background, you have something within you that can help somebody else and that you can teach someone else.
Yeah.
So if your heart is open to not classifying people with where they come from and just as people, then I think that you are open to being taught a lot of life lessons.
Great. Okay, cool. So you were Miss Congeniality at 7 years old.
Yes, and world peace.
Yes, at 7 years old. And then you grew up, and then you went to high school. Tell us about your high school life.
Oh my gosh. I went to such a rural high school.
Mm-hmm.
Black girls only.
Uh-huh.
Boarding school, Roman Catholic.
Uh-huh.
And you know what? That's where I found Jesus first.
Yeah.
That's where I found God.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really appreciative of that, because it set the base of my life. And now in my life, when things are cluttered, I have that source to go back to. So that's where I found God. Also, it's where I found my real friends. My high school friends are still my friends till today. And they know me from when this was not a reality, and I had another set of reality then. And high school was interesting. I mean, I was the kind of child, like, I did everything right. I was a prefect. I was in charge of the tuck shop money.
Mm.
I was
in the
choir, steel drum band. There's honestly nothing I wasn't doing. My mom used to say, well, in Zulu, you know, which means I like, you know, being in positions positions. And that's just the kind of child I was. I was a teacher's pet. The other my high school kids didn't really like me much, you know. That girl, that's just the teacher's pet. So the other girls are just like, oh,
you know,
whatever.
You know it's real when you're handling the tax shop money,
you know what I mean. So yeah, that's who I was in high school. I was a busybody. I did well with my grades. I was just, I've always been the kind of person who stuck to the books. I mean, even when I went to varsity, I finished in record time, 3 years. I found a job after that. And, you know, I just did things to the book. And then there was a point in my life I was just like, I want to do me now. Wow. While I still do things for the book, I could say, but it's just different from, I think, what my family's exposed to, for instance, you know? Yeah.
Oh, pretty interesting. So, clearly, you were that child, Vela, certificate child.
Yeah,
you know?
I was that child through and through. Even in varsity, I was now still a prefect. And well, in Pretoria University, they call it Harkers. I don't know if you guys know.
But
it's like a prefect of the board of the residents. Mm-hmm. I was still there. I'm just always that girl who needs to have this position.
Yeah. Pretty cool. Yeah, pretty cool. And and that probably goes to being ambitious.
Yes.
It means that you were ambitious with whatever you could achieve and attain at that particular age.
Exactly.
And where do you think this ambitiousness comes from? Is it something that your mother taught at home? Are all the girls ambitious in the house? Or is it a middle child syndrome where everyone else is like, I know Shapulano, and then you're like, I'm ambitious, Mina.
You know what? I always say that your background doesn't really influence who you become.
Yeah.
I think, yes, my mom was ambitious, but my mom had a certain type of ambition. Her ambition was just to make sure that her kids are fed, they go to the right schools, and they survive.
Yeah.
You know, my ambition is more than just survival. I want something I haven't even seen. You know, there's this quote in the Bible that says, God can dream an even bigger dream than you. You know, what you think of, he can even do more. And I've always just taken a page out of people's lives that are outside my own family. You know, I used to, in high school, I had this book that had Kanye Lomo's picture. In my memoir, I had so many things. Like, there was another lady who came to our high school who then became a mentor to me for a certain period of time. And she was a brand manager at Hewlett Aluminium. And those are the things that I was never exposed to in my own family. But I always say that, so you don't have to always look within your family, the people that are around you all the time, to find that inspiration. So I really looked outside and I found inspiration from so many people. And that made me ambitious, you know, that made me want more. I didn't know what more was, but I knew that where I wasn't satisfied with the life I was living then. Even in high school, varsity, all of that, I knew that there was just more out there, and I was going to be the person who's going to get that more. And I was going to work hard for it, and whatever it took. And luckily for me, I had the kind of mother who never asked for anything from anyone. So it actually is so hard for me to ask for help. It's one of the hardest things that I come across, is to ask for help. So I always make sure that I work hard. I think since even varsity, I've never gone back home and said, can I please have money? I've never.
Well,
you know,
done.
I'm the kind of person who I just, if I set my mind on something, I'm going to achieve it and I'm going to find a way. So I think I've just always wanted more, in a nutshell.
What I like in what you said, somewhere in there, you use the words, I always knew, which is something that some people could just, you know, go past and not exactly pick it up. Because there was once a time where my mother was asked by a high school friend. Now, my mother grew up in rural Eastern Cape as well. You know, they didn't have much of much. You know, it was just like, yo, man, we out here. And one of her high school friends pretty much still didn't amount to much in terms of a successful career or anything like that. And in fact, back in those days, not much was expected of you as a girl anyway. Just get married, get some kids, and you are a successful girl. You know, that
exactly.
was, as long as your kids are not in jail, you're successful. So now she meets up with my mom, you know, years later, and she says, wow, did you ever think that you would have a car and be driving and things? Like, to her, even just having a car
is
huge. You know, and she says, did you ever think that you would have a car that you are driving yourself? And my mother said, yeah, I always knew. Mm-hmm. And it can sound very rude at first when you listen to that, like, what do you mean you always knew? But it's actually it's almost a different type of faith. Well, it is the most extreme sense of faith, really.
Yes.
It is not just hoping for or expecting, but almost with a sure expectation. Yes. Like, you're so sure you
that
almost can say
happen,
yeah. You're so sure you can say you knew that this was coming.
Yes.
And you just needed to cultivate the land. But the rain is coming.
Yes, exactly. Preach.
Yeah.
I even say that I always knew it was just a matter of when will it happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's just a timing thing. Because when you know it, when you have that deep sense of knowing, even in the darkest times, when you look around and actually there's nothing that says that, you know, you're going to where you know you're going in your head. But you can still have that belief, because it's just, you just take that word that you received and you just run with it. You're like, no matter how it looks right now, but I know what is in my heart and I know that it's going to come through. My mom used to always say that I used to live in dreamland. That's like a favorite thing of hers. She's just like, I don't know, you're just a different child. You just lived in your mind. And I think that it's so important, like what was said in the clip now, is to just take time and spend time with yourself, you know? And because of that, I could just always, you know, take things out from my mind and try and implement them.
Sure.
Yeah, man, I just want to ask something, because I heard you say that you went to boarding school, right?
Yes.
Would you say that you spending time in boarding school, especially, I mean, boarding school, you spend a lot of time on your own, especially being a multitasking kind of person, would you say that that contributed a lot to being an ambitious person and the person that you are today?
It definitely did. Because you really, in boarding school, it's each man for himself, you know?
Mm.
You get into an environment where you have to survive with other people, you have to do things yourself, whether it's your clothes, washing your clothes, getting your grades, this and that. Everything is up to you, you know? You can either make it work or you don't have to really make it work, you know?
True.
And it really contributes me to firstly being very independent. I'm the kind of person, like, a lot of people ask me, how often do you go home? And I say, not much. And I don't have that thing where I cling to home, because I've been away from home since I was young. I mean, I went to boarding school. Then after that, I came up to Joburg, went to varsity here. And ever since, I've been staying in Joburg.
And you've learned to rely on yourself.
And I've learned to rely on myself, my abilities. And it's just made me very independent and also contributed to being ambitious.
Nice.
Now, I've heard someone once say that going to boarding school, you know, two things can happen. Either you can become, you know, part of the lower part of the food chain and you can get trampled on. But if you make it to the other side, meaning that you become you are on the top of the food chain in the social sense, you actually end up being a really, really strong communicator, a really strong personality. And you learn to rely on yourself quite a lot. And you stand out amongst normal people quite easily. You find that as true?
I think, you know what, I don't think it's a boarding school thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think everything is an individual thing, because you can put me in another situation, in another high school. I mean, I was in primary school and I think I was relatively the same child, you know, maybe I'm not in an enclosed environment. I think everyone, I always said, my sister and I always joke about, where will you take your kids? Will you take your kids to a boarding school? And I'm just like, you know what, you can take your kid to any school.
True.
And literally your personality will determine who you become, the kind of person that you are, what you're exposed to, what you want out of life. That's going to determine whether you become outspoken, whether you are in front of people, around people, friendly, not friendly. It's just really an individualistic thing and your own approach to life. Because I can't say that boarding school, because there's so many people that come out of boarding school, but we're all so different, you know. We all gravitate to different parts of life and things and activities, but I just think it's because that of what we want for ourselves.
It's
powerful, man.
Pretty interesting you say that. Cool. So then obviously you went to varsity, you got your degree, then you went on to get your honors, you made mama proud.
Yes.
And it was like a mama we made it moment. You started working, and then somewhere in there you said, no, I want to do this thing. Did you immediately get all the support you needed? Or actually, maybe you were one of those island girls that never needed anybody's approval or support. You just said, I'm going to do it anyway, mom. Bye.
Firstly, I've always had entertainment lurking behind the scenes. I mean, when I was it started actually in varsity. In varsity, I used to do odd modeling jobs.
Mm.
And then as I got into corporate, I would take my lunch breaks and I'd go for auditions.
Mm.
And if I got an audition, vacation, then I take leave and go and shoot something and go back to being a corporate girl.
Well done.
So for me, like, I've always had that. So I've always exposed. It wasn't a sudden decision that shocked everybody. And I was like, now I'm going to entertainment, you know?
Yeah.
So I think in a way it prepared them. They knew that I had a love for this thing. I hadn't tapped into it yet.
And you started showing some sort of results.
Yes. And I started sort of showing results in it, you know? And I was already earning more money from it than what I was doing in corporate.
Great.
So for me, it was such an easier move than somebody who's just leaving corporate altogether and starting something they haven't done at all.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I always encourage people that if you want to leave corporate and do something on your own, if you haven't saved up at least 6 months worth of salary, rather leave when you are at least earning something and you're not starting from zero. Because yes, you can make it still, but it's just such a harder climb without the financial backing, you know?
Very true.
True. All right, cool. We are heading to the end of the show right about now. I know it's the shortest hour of the week. Can you hit us with some motivation? Like, if you had 1 minute to just say something to that person who's thinking of making the jump towards their dream, and they're still a little unsure. It's like a, you know, they're not too sure how to do it just yet. And what would your words be?
I just say, firstly, believe in yourself. Believe in what God has told you about your life. Trust your gut. Your soul knows where you are going. And then just start. Start where you are. The start is not the full plan. It's the beginning of the plan. All the other steps will unveil themselves as you go along. You will learn along the road. You won't always succeed. You'll sometimes fail. But those will be your biggest and your greatest lessons. So start, if you want to start something, start with where you are. Start with what you have and believe that it's going to work out.
Wow, absolutely fantastic. And that's true. You can't be great to get started, but you have to get started to be great, right?
Yes.
Absolutely fantastic. So, I mean, what you're saying is pretty much what I always try to say to people as well, that you need to create that backyard garden. Grow something slowly, but your parents do not want to see experiments. They want to see results.
Yes. So, and also, I would say that it's not all about your parents. It's good to respect your parents. You have to respect your parents, love your parents. But some decisions, you know, they'll be good for you. And at the end of the day, at some point when they see you happy and thriving, they'll understand why you had to take that decision at that time. I think it's so important that to know also that our parents are human beings. They've made their set of mistakes, and sometimes they can project their own fears onto us because, you know, there's so much that was against them also in their times, and they don't always necessarily understand our context and where we are. So it's good to understand your parents. It's good to take their advice, to listen to it, and it's also good to take a leap of faith, but also it has to be a leap of faith with a plan, you know. It's not just a leap of faith that's just like, oh, let me just do it, but you have no plan, you have no thinking of how you can navigate the space that you want to impact. So I think parents, it's important to take their advice because they care about you. They're the people that will give you solid advice because they really love you. But at the end of the day, I think that you have all the answers. You possess all the answers about yourself.
Ayana Tabere, everybody. Absolutely fantastic stuff. Well, we're wrapping up the show right about now. Any last words, Paul?
Yo, man, look, everybody must just go onto the website, www.cliffcentral.com, to get this podcast. It's been a fire podcast. Trust me, yo, you're very inspirational. And I'm amazed. You know, some of the things that you spoke about, I'm surprised, and they're really great. And I wish you all the best with your career. And yeah, man, if people want to hit us up on social media, they can find me at @SboKuzi. They can also find the links where I'm going to be posting them on social media.
Great stuff. Okay, cool. That is pretty much it. That is the shortest hour of the week, as it always is. Thank you very much for listening. And we're going to do this again next week.
This is CliffCentral.com.